Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. There's no core public service in our state that's been more negatively impacted by the state legislature's obsession with tax and spending cuts in recent years than public education. Once a point of national pride for the state, North Carolina's public schools now stand comparatively tattered and threadbare thanks to more than a decade of sustained cuts to staffing and facilities. To make matters even more maddening, the recent downward spiral has come at a time in which the state is subject to a court order in the long-standing Leandro school funding case to change direction and dramatically boost public education investments. Earlier this week, I caught up with a state lawmaker who's trying hard to do something about this absurd situation, Representative Raymond Smith of Wayne and Sampson Counties. Well, Representative Raymond Smith, welcome back to News and Views. It sure is good to have you back with us.
Thank you so much, Rob. It is indeed a pleasure to speak with you. It's always refreshing to talk with someone who cares about what we do.
We want to talk about the Leandro situation. Leandro is a long-standing North Carolina Supreme Court case that ruled well over a quarter of a century ago, really, that every child in our state has a constitutional right to a sound basic education. But of course, we know that that right is still, a quarter century later, being denied to children, particularly low-income children, but children of many statuses of life all over our state. You are part of an effort at the General Assembly to get the General Assembly to finally do its duty on this, but it's going to be an uphill battle. Talk to us about what's been going on in Leandro and your perspective on where things stand.
Absolutely. And Rob, you know me well enough to know that education is first and foremost with me, and it should be first and foremost with our General Assembly. Our state of North Carolina has a lot of longstanding traditions, and being one very focused on education, and of course our transportation program in years past, we used to be known as the Good Road State, but we also were known for our education, and for some reason over the last decade or so, our education status across the nation has decreased dramatically. Now we have a court ruling that basically supports that notion that we have gone backwards. We've regressed as far as our responsibilities in education. And to top it off, not only have we regressed educationally, we've regressed our efforts on funding our public education system. With some of the bills that are being passed in the General Assembly by the majority party that basically take state tax dollars and place them in private institutions. Those are some of the more egregious things that are going on right now. And, you know, those of us that support and that were educated in this public education system here in the state of North Carolina, we're the ones making this decision. And that perplexes me to no end. And so that being said, there are numerous parts to the Leandro proposal. As you well know, the responsibility of the General Assembly is to provide a sound basic education for every child here in the state of North Carolina. House Bill 946, which I am one of the primary sponsors on, addresses that. The fact that we cannot get that bill to the floor for a vote says everything it needs to say about where the current majority is on public education in the state of North Carolina.
Yeah, it's a remarkable fact. I'm struck by a couple of things when you talk about this debate. One, we had someone from the Budget and Tax Center talking with us recently on the show, and we talked about the fact that over the last decade, North Carolina, just in terms of what it spends on state and local government as a share of its economy, has declined dramatically. I mean, we are spending much less today on core public services and structures. And indeed, you look at things like public schools where our spending is now per pupil lower than even places like South Carolina. It can't help but have an impact. And obviously, I'm sure you've seen it in your communities in Wayne and Sampson counties. You walk into school buildings and, you know, many of them are substandard. We have struggles just keeping basic, decent, safe facilities for our kids and having adequate class sizes. Across the board, it just seems that there has been an abandonment of this as a top priority for state government over the last several years.
Absolutely. When we talk about slogans, political slogans, there's a political slogan that I have come to adopt, and it is that the Republican Party wants to defund public education. That is not a good thing. that is probably one of the most egregious things that we could do. The reason for our public school system, the foundation is to provide a more civil society. Right. That's the basic responsibility of education. Yet and still, we talk about the social issues. We talk about the crime that we have in the state of North Carolina. Well, there's a direct correlation between poverty, crime, and education. Mm-hmm. And so when we want to seriously get ahead of the issues of poverty, the issues related to poverty, the issues related to crime, when we get down to it, it begins with education. And if we're not providing a sound basic education, if we're not providing opportunities for folks to go out and earn a living after they graduate from high school, college is not for everyone.
Sure.
But surely we could provide them with the opportunity through career technical education and other options to make a living once they graduate and matriculate out of high school. That, to me, is what this bill is all about.
It's striking that we obviously are in a moment in which kids have been struggling even worse than usual. The pandemic has really taken a toll on a lot of kids, obviously, and a lot of families. And we've had this rare opportunity in that there has been an infusion, at least of one-time federal dollars from the Biden administration that could really give us a chance. I think Governor Cooper's referred to it to make transformational changes in our state. And if we could combine that with some sustained funding from state government to address these holes that have arisen in recent years, we're in a position to really make a difference and to really respond to what's been a serious crisis. But it doesn't seem that there's much interest from your Republican colleagues at the General Assembly in going in this direction.
Absolutely. I mean, we have approximately $5.7 billion in federal monies that are above and beyond our state budget. If there was ever a time for us to be able to really get back in the lead as it relates to our education system, that time is now. But of course, we have other things that our Republican colleagues will use to distract us away from what is truly critical. They're going to start talking about redistricting.
Yeah.
They're going to start talking about limiting voting rights. All of these things are going to be distractions that the public will be distracted by, and we still have a failing education system. And we can truly make a real difference at this particular point in time, because we've not been in such good financial shape in many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And the money is there. What we need now is the will.
I'm talking with State Representative Raymond Smith of Wayne and Sampson counties about the situation in public education in North Carolina these days. I know you all have introduced this legislation. It's going to have an uphill fight getting a hearing in the General Assembly. Amazingly, even a hearing, even a discussion for House Bill, I believe it's 946. But if we could get a hearing, what are some of the things that are in this bill to address the Leandro court order that you really see as top priorities? I know we've talked a lot about getting broadband to kids, but there's some even more basic stuff when it comes to funding public education and providing a sound basic education to all our children. Are there some things in this bill that you really would like to lift up if you had the chance to have that hearing?
Absolutely. First and foremost, let's talk about what is the most important resource that a student has. And it's not a book, it's not a computer, it's not even a building. The most important resource that a student has is the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
The teacher is the most important resource. And what we don't have here in the state of North Carolina, we do not have a well-prepared, highly qualified teacher in every classroom. In our public schools, we deal a lot, and I know especially in our rural areas where teacher supplements are, they pale in comparison to counties like Mecklenburg and Wake. Those teacher supplements absolutely make the difference in the quality of teacher that you can find for your classrooms. And in some of the rural areas, like the ones that I represent, teacher supplements are minuscule.
Right.
And so we're competing with the larger districts, the more wealthy districts for teachers, and it basically boils down to what can we pay them above and beyond what the state minimum salary is. So number one is well-prepared and highly qualified teacher in every classroom. And of course, Then you want to talk about administration. We want highly qualified, well-prepared administrators. Administrators can make or break a school. I spoke with someone recently, and there was an empirical study done with regard to what is the primary reason for teacher retention. What makes a teacher want to stay at a particular school? And the majority of, now I won't say everyone, but the majority of the responses were principal or leadership support.
Right.
If teachers feel supported, they will stay. They will hang in there for as long as you need them to. And I think that without that, that's going to be a continued revolving door in our school system, getting teachers to stick around, hang in there, and deal with the challenges. Because as you well know, on any job, if you don't feel supported, if you don't feel as though the leadership or the administration has your back, you know, it's very difficult for people to want to hang around in that environment. So we all know that there are jobs that are challenging, jobs like law enforcement, jobs like first responders. Those are challenging jobs. What keeps those people there? The fact that they feel supported. So those are the kinds of things that really matter. We've got to find a financial system that provides an adequate and equitable resource for these schools. School funding, infrastructure, things of that nature, it's a hit or miss depending upon the wealth of your district. The wealth of your district should not be a determining factor as to whether or not you have good facilities and good schools and with which to educate your children.
It was noteworthy that the Leandra ruling that ruled that every child has a right to a sound basic education didn't say anything about which counties you live in. It said all North Carolina children.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It does not differentiate. So when we talk about equitable distribution of resources, and I think sometimes people confuse the terms equitable and equal. Equitable in and of itself, it denotes equal, but equal to what scale?
Right.
And so every district has different needs. And so therefore we need flexibility in that funding. I think that the one size fits all approach to the dissemination of funds and placing those funds in specific categories for spending purposes, I think that handcuffs a lot of our administrators and a lot of our superintendents. And so, you know, we certainly advocate for some flexibility in funding. And then, of course, how do we measure one school against another one? The current ABC model that we use to determine the school accountability model, that is probably one of the most dangerous and egregious aspects of it all, because it labels a school as an A, B, C, D, or F school. Well, if the school is labeled an F because the students as a whole in that school did not meet a standard, a single standard that is used to measure all the schools by, then what that says to the general public is that that particular school, there's no education going on. And that's not true. I know a school in my district that received an F rating, but there was a teacher who received a bonus because all of her students did extraordinarily well on their testing. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the entire school is an F, but to give the school that grade is to say that there is no learning taking place inside the school.
Right.
And that's just so unfair.
It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It discourages other parents from wanting to send their kids there, even by virtue of that label.
Absolutely.
The good news in all this is that while it's an uphill fight and y'all are going to have a challenge getting this important legislation heard, we know for a fact that you're not going anywhere, and you're going to be, that you and your colleagues will continue to raise this issue, and eventually we're going to break down that door and get students of this state the education they deserve. So, Representative Raymond Smith, thank you so much for doing that. Thanks for being with us on News and Views. And, you know, we'll talk later this summer. Maybe we can talk about some legislative successes in the closing weeks of the General Assembly.
Outstanding, Rob. Thank you so much for your time and your attention to this most important matter. Take care.
Coming up next, we'll hear from one of our state's up-and-coming champions of public education about her inspiring efforts to lift up Latinx children and other English language learners. Don't go away.